And welcome to a Wednesday morning in the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak. That's Drew Butler. This is the Steakhouse. They give us our 2 hours. We run with it. We hold it close to us like a newborn. We just hold on to our 2 hours, then we just move along. We move along. They stick us 9 to 11. I don't say stick us. Best shift in radio all time. I don't know how you would have done with mornings. Maybe you have perhaps had that opportunity, or maybe again, but it's a whole new world, brother. It's a whole new world.
I hear you loud
and
clear.
Your wife wouldn't. You probably wouldn't be very high on your wife's list if that was the case also.
I believe that is the case. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for morning drive radio hosts. Obviously, we've filled in a couple of times having to get up at 4 out of the house. But, you know, with three girls at home, that leaves a lot for mommy to handle early in the hours of the day.
Yeah, maybe that's why my wife doesn't like me that much overall. You know, I forget that I did 20, 25 years of that. I kid. Kimberly did a great job with that. But no question, great to hear the morning team doing their thing.
Absolutely.
And just a whole different deal. The difference of waking up at 4:30 and waking up at 6:30. And I know, like, you know, we know the whole, you and I both follow a bunch of guys on Instagram. It's the CEO mantra, you know, the 5 a.m. club. Yeah, and
grounding and sunlight and cold tub. Yeah, meditate,
cold
journal.
Plunge, journal. The whole CEO shtick, right? So God bless. But when you've been doing mornings as many years as I did, 6:30, you go to sleep at like 11 o'clock, 7.5 hours.
Yeah, because you have to stay up and at least understand what happened in the sports world the night before to a degree.
To a degree.
You can't go to bed at 7:30
no,
p.m.
No, I mean, that's, yeah. And you don't need to. Like 10:30 to 4:30, if it's 4:30, that's still a six-hour deal. Anyway, where have you been? You were traveling, playing, you're doing your golf thing, whatnot?
Yeah, it's a busy time of the year. I was fortunate enough to be invited back down to the Jimmy Rain Foundation event last Thursday and Friday in Montgomery. Jimmy Rain, the founder of Yellowwood, he is a humongous Auburn donor. They raised over $2 million for his scholarship fund, which was great. But Bruce Pearl was the keynote speaker. I was on the golf course with Jason Campbell, former Auburn quarterback, who's actually a neighbor of mine. I was right in front of Bo Jackson, which was very cool to see Bo. And then a couple other Georgia guys were there. David Green, DJ Shockley, our old buddy Buck Ballou was down
there.
Was
it an overnight?
Yeah, they do a gala on Thursday night, wake up, play golf on Friday, and you drive on back home.
Whose golf game would we be surprised / impressed by that's on these like tours on a regular basis? I mean, I know you're kind of a scratch golfer as it is. Did Bruce Pearl go out there and hit any balls?
You know, I didn't see Coach Pearl hit
Jason
it around.
Jason Campbell?
A Campbell can get it around. Yeah, he's a great guy. And the coolest thing about these events, like Mickey Matthews was there, who was a longtime college football coach. Chris Hatcher, who's the head coach at Samford, whose son Ty Hatcher is now an analyst on Kirby's staff at Georgia. Like, getting to be around those guys, all the stories that they tell, how much fun they have together,
so when Bruce
awesome.
Pearl's doing a keynote, is that what you call it?
Yeah, and it, you know, it was all Auburn crowd
so
there.
So what is he talking about the season?
Talked about the season. I thought it was awesome to hear him say, and I can't believe he's been at Auburn for 11 years. It's kind of crazy to think that. But he said, you know, the expectation of him taking that job at Auburn when he got there, he went to the administrators and said, I get it. Auburn basketball has not held up their end of the bargain in this athletic department. He wants to make the change. Will you guys buy in, believe in what I want to do? And, you know, they gave him that second chance after the trouble that he got in. He's very thankful for it. And, you know, talking about how he's been navigating the transfer portal and NIL and the success that they've had, it was cool to hear.
Yeah, I've told you the story about Bruce Pearl, which, by the way, when you think about what got him is it called show clause?
Show cause. Yeah.
Which means you're banned from the sport, essentially.
Until you go in front of a panel of the NCAA, whatever
he
it is.
He lied about a barbecue at his house hosting Tennessee recruits or players. I got to go back and
just
look
so
at
dumb.
It.
Just so yes.
I mean, like in this day
looking
and age.
Looking back now, it's even just more preposterous.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Looks ridiculous now that you know, because he lied. Okay, he lied about it. He conveyed a photo of the actual barbecue. Okay. yeah, so yeah. He
crazy.
Hosted, he had guys at his house when he was grilling out. So the first job he got, because he was untouchable, ESPN and trying to be a good partner with college basketball, that because he was on a show cause, could not work covering college basketball. So we hired him at 790 The Zone as our college basketball analyst, journalist. So he's always been incredibly appreciative, since one of the great moments is that got to spend a lot of time with Bruce Pearl because he didn't have a job. So he was our college basketball guy. He'd come to Atlanta. We were around him a bunch. The next year, ESPN hires him. He's spectacular in studio. I mean, nobody better.
Yeah, he is great.
But I mean, like, no, there's nobody better that was going to take that. I mean, Seth Greenberg's fine and our buddy Josh Pastner, but Bruce Pearl is a different level of entertainment. And he does a couple of years at ESPN, and then they end the show cause, and he's able to – what he's done at Auburn – is spectacular.
Absolutely.
Same thing with Nate Oates at Alabama. I mean, it's spectacular. Rick Barnes at Tennessee. Obviously now what's going on in Florida. I mean, it's crazy. You know, the world I grew up in, where the SEC, they had great athletes always. And
Kentucky
there
was always
teams.
Relevant. Yeah,
of course. I mean, in Florida, it made runs over the years. But to see now the powerhouse of that conference, and any of those teams could have won a national title.
Just a total gauntlet.
Yeah, I mean, Florida deserve to win it, right?
Absolutely.
Florida deserves to win it, but, I mean, any of those, I wouldn't say Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, obviously Florida because they win it, and Tennessee absolutely could have won national titles. So anytime you're around Bruce Pearl, that's a win.
Very cool. And then I get home, and Jackie's, one of her friends, had a birthday party. It was a pickleball birthday party, and I've talked about it a lot. You know, her Alta team, her mixed doubles teams, all I ever hear about is injuries. I got a shoulder. I got a knee. I got an ankle. I got hit in the eye. My nose is bleeding. It's crazy. More injuries than I've ever seen in an NFL locker room.
For
Alta,
a tennis team?
Yes. I'm like, you know, chill out. That's why I don't play tennis. So we're doing this pickleball thing. I'd never picked up a pickleball paddle in my life. I don't want to play. I don't want to get hurt. We're having fun. I'm dinking it around. I pick up a high noon. I got a high noon in one hand, a paddle in the other. We're playing. I look over, buddy is on the ground, heel locked out, snapped his Achilles clean. I did not know him, but his wife did text the group on Monday and said, hey, in case anybody was wondering, it was a clean tear of the Achilles. He has surgery Friday.
So what did it look like when he's on the ground?
Oh, there? I mean, he's down. He's grabbing his ankle. His ankle and foot are completely locked out. I walked over to
him. What does locked out mean?
Like 90-degree angle. Like, it's just 90-degree angle, his foot up in the air. I said, what happened? He goes, it sounded like a gunshot. I go, that's not good, dude. I go, that is not good. So we elevated it, put an ice on it.
His wife took him off?
No, he was hobbling off. His wife took him, I guess, to the hospital. And, you know, you can't have surgery immediately on an Achilles like that. So poor guy. I mean, look, last day of school is either today, tomorrow, or Friday. The pool just opened. Summertime is here. And daddy's going to be on the scooter all summer long.
Well, you know, he probably couldn't get surgery right away because he couldn't get surgery right away. You know that the Jason Tatum surgery, but by the time, like, the
– Oh, I see what you're saying.
They want to now. There's all this research, I guess it is, that if you get surgery immediately, like they were saying, we talked about it yesterday, Sandra and I, that by the time – Brad Stevens was saying this – by the time the injury report came out on Jason Tatum, everyone was waiting to hear.
Right, he had already had the surgery.
Yeah, they wanted to do it immediately. They put him in the hospital. He probably did it in the middle of the night or that morning, and he was already back in the hotel. They say that that can save you.
Oh, for sure.
On the back
end. One of the dads at the party was like, well, Aaron Rodgers came back in 4 months. I go, dude, Aaron Rodgers did physical therapy 23 hours a day
for 3 months
straight.
And he didn't come back. What does that mean? He was standing on a field throwing a ball.
This guy, like, you know, poor guy's going to be out for 12 months.
Yeah, my sister-in-law had an Achilles, and then she got a meniscus as she was recovering from it. Because but dude, don't be worried about if you can't play pickle. What are you gonna do for exercise?
Me?
Walk the golf course?
No, Peloton and kettlebells, dude. I gotta go figure
it out. Is that what it is?
Come on.
There's not a lot of
look at this physique. Come on.
All right. Well, Spencer Strider's start did not turn out the way you wanted. Braves a big favorite on the road last night with Strider back. They lose to the Nationals, 5-3 is the final.
Yeah, Strider goes 4 1/3. He gave up 6 hits, 4 earned runs. Not good velocity, not good control, but first game back since that hamstring injury, and he was not happy, Steak.
Yeah, we'll hear more from him. I mean, he is like a Chris Sale clone when he doesn't pitch the way he wants. And talk about a guy that puts a lot of pressure on himself. Obviously, tough game for the Braves to lose. They now have, no big deal. Lost two out of three on the road, lost Saturday, and I lose here. They need to win a couple before they come home for the Padres, where Strider will probably, I don't know what Snit was saying, but I would assume he has a chance to start on Sunday against the Padres. I think it's a weird start time on Sunday. Did I see it's 4 o'clock, right, Bo? What's that about? Memorial
the next
Day kind of?
Sunday home games are actually 4 o'clock,
wow.
If I'm not mistaken.
Explain
kind of
that
strange.
To me. Is that because of the heat and the – no, that's not it
No,
either.
It's not the heat. I don't
– It's a national television.
We'll have plenty of Sunday day games in July and August.
Does it have something to do with who
it
owns the rights to the games?
Television or something of that nature, yeah.
Yeah. Remember they had the – Apple had the 11 a.m. starts?
Yeah.
In the
yeah.
Apple TV.
Peacock.
One of those
Peacock.
Coming up in July. It's actually a Roku start, 11:30 a.m. July 6th.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. He's got his whole schedule down. Anyway, more on the Braves coming up. Oklahoma City, no problem with Minnesota. 114-88, game one of the Western Finals. SGA goes for 31.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards on the other side, only 18 points. I would expect the Timberwolves to bounce back, but, man, the Thunder are very good. Pacers against the New York Knicks tonight in Madison Square Garden, 8 p.m. tip on TNT. That's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Next three Saturdays are 4 o'clock. Thank you for that, Bo. Yeah, by the way, staying local, as big a win as it gets for the Atlanta Dream.
Yeah, the Atlanta Dream beat Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever 91-90. Last night in Gainbridge Arena, that's up Gainbridge Fieldhouse up in Indianapolis. And then those two teams come down here, and they're playing at State Farm, I believe, Thursday night. Is that right, Steak?
Yeah, 17,000 expected. The rematch, Brittany Griner last night, 21-8. 17,000 folks expected at State Farm Arena for Atlanta Dream and Caitlin Clark. Real quick, Georgia and Oklahoma, the SEC tourney.
Yes, in Hoover, Alabama. Expected first pitch, 5:30 p.m. tonight. And then your number one seed, Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, take on Cal tomorrow in the ACC tournament. College baseball taking you through Memorial Day weekend.
All right, Alex Anthopoulos joined us yesterday for a lengthy interview. What was the headline? Well, Dukes and Bell had some fun with it, or maybe not fun is the word, but he ain't worried about his closer. Is Alex the only one not worried? Also, why Spencer Strider might be the toughest on himself of any player I have seen or dealt with in recent memory. We'll hear from Strider in the clubhouse, Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, get on the Odyssey app. There's all kinds of stuff, including the Alex Anthopoulos interview. We'll hear a bunch coming up from that. You never know what moments are going to be out there or what kind of stuff you want to follow up on with the number one sports station in the Southeast. And if you're driving around Atlanta, hopefully, if you're an Amazon driver or a police officer or a sales guy or whatever it is in your car, a lot of truck drivers, we're keeping you company best that we can. The world of sports and gosh knows what else is going to happen. You may get a couple of food reviews at Atlanta Eats on Radio in the mix.
Saw somebody was encroaching on your territory as far as burger reviews go in our area.
You talking about Pookie and
yeah.
Jet?
What's up with that? Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane.
But that is their lane now. They
I
love
don't
to
know.
Do food. They did give me the shout out.
They did. I so, respect that.
Pookie looks absolutely fire tonight.
Yeah. So they went to the... I mentioned this again, so I don't want to keep repeating, but that burger review of Che Butter Jones now,
yeah.
it's got over, I think, 6,000 shares.
Okay.
So if you have 6,000 shares, that's a buddy telling another buddy, like,
for sure.
We got to go here. They ran out of food Saturday. They ran out of food Sunday.
Wow.
The wait was an hour to get a burger. It was one of those I've never been in quite like at the
and where's the location? Beltline?
It's La Vista and it's over Brookhaven-ish.
Okay. So
La Vista and Briarcliff. So I went in there randomly at 1:30 on a Tuesday when no one was in there. And next thing you know, I put that review up and it got into some kind of Instagramosphere. And I've never seen anything like it.
So in the pantheon of Atlanta burgers, obviously you've got NFA, our buddy Billy. You've got Chastain. Yep. You've got some significant spots.
You've
OTP.
Got Marcel. You got Little Sparrow.
Little Sparrow.
You got.
But this seems like it's in kind of a category of its own. I saw it. I watched
They're
your review.
They're famous for the lamb burger, but I said, if you want to get real traction, lamb is a little too niche. So I'm going to do the regular burger as well. I got the lamb burger review coming
out. Is it a
out.
Smash burger, though? Because it looked like smash patties. It had some bacon on it. I mean, it looked awesome.
It was amazing. It wasn't in its own. I mean, it's its own category. It's they had a food truck, and then they had their first brick and mortar, and now I've never seen anything like it. But point being, I got a food review of a breakfast sandwich coming out in about 10 minutes as well.
Okay.
So check that out.
All right.
Listen. Oh, yeah, there's sports stuff, too. I'm sorry. Yeah, we do sports here, too. But, you know.
Do we? Yeah. We have to?
Well, that's part of what Mike Conti said. Okay. At least do like 30%. Hey, Spencer Strider, not the start that he wanted yesterday. What I'm just so impressed by is the ownership that some of these guys take and the seriousness with which they approach being there for their team. And I watched Chris Sale. I really watched him more when he was in Boston after he leaves the White Sox, and he didn't have a great run there. It was hot and cold, didn't win a World Series, but he would just beat himself up when he was in the middle of that run, and he's like, and then he got injured, and he said, like Strider said, I'm not doing anything to earn my contract if I can't pitch, you know, had some injuries. And I think I've never seen anybody be so hard on himself until I listened to Spencer Strider on a regular basis. And last night, after 4 1/3, 6 hits, and 4 runs, doesn't have the start he needed, gets the loss, actually. Here he talks post-game saying, this is not what I want to be.
Didn't give us a chance to win the game, really. I mean, it's got to be better. Didn't execute. Stuff wasn't consistent. You know, just hate to see the guys, you know, come back, put a 3-spot up there, and then go out and immediately give up the lead. That's just one of those things you never want to do. So, you know, not acceptable for me.
I mean, I appreciate him saying that, and I appreciate him taking the responsibility, because I would have to assume that, I don't know, maybe Braves brass was giving Spencer Strider the opportunity to have a bit more time to recover, to rehab. Hey, take your time, man. It's still early goings of the season. And I'm sure Spencer, being the competitor that he is, wants to get back out there, is doing everything that he can to get back on the mound, kind of presses those decision makers to say, I'm ready, let me go. And then he doesn't live up to his own expectations, and he takes the full responsibility. So I appreciate that as a team leader, as a competitor, and clearly that's one of the reasons why it makes him so great.
Yeah, you face the media. You take responsibility. You don't, you know, disappear into a corner. And again, it's, you know, most guys are like, it's the way you get, you're a professional athlete, so you would know when guys don't answer and force other guys to talk about what happened when instead of the person that was involved in it. I mean, that's a good way to alienate your teammates.
Like Rory McIlroy last week at the PGA. Did you guys talk about that at all?
We haven't.
He
four
didn't
straight
talk
days.
To the media for 4 straight days.
So what's going on?
I digress.
There?
I have
Are
no
they
idea.
Annoyed about? Was he annoyed about his so his driver
yeah,
was
his
called
driver
into
was
question.
Called non-conforming. I mean, I have no idea. I know that's kind of a bit of a tangent.
But remember weeks ago, he said, I don't have to speak to you, unlike Major League professional sports, where they're required,
right.
We're not.
Right.
Which was almost a foreshadowing of, if I don't have to, I won't, which I think is really annoying. But that's an individual sport.
Correct.
Right? That's an individual sport. Here's more Spencer Strider saying, I take no joy.
I'm going to have to work to be better. So, no, I mean, I certainly want to play, but I take no joy in not giving us a chance. So, you know, if I don't feel like I can't provide for the team, then I don't take much pleasure in losing games for us.
I mean, dude,
Spencer, take a deep breath.
I know, dude.
It's okay.
You know, we also said, I'm very familiar that we sent down a really good pitcher in order for me to get this start.
Yeah.
And Bryce Elder and Alex Anthopoulos talked about it was awful having to send down Elder. Like, dude, he goes, I want to play. Like, okay, like, I totally agree.
It's the Goodwill Hunting quote. It's not your fault.
I mean, well, it is your fault
it's not
yesterday.
Your fault.
But, like, wow. Give yourself
a
break, dude.
I know.
Nobody's talking about you not playing. And I know you feel bad for Bryce Elder, but you earned your spot.
Yeah,
you
everybody's going to give Spencer Strider the grace that he has earned over the last 5 years.
He's not giving it to himself.
I know.
There's a sports psychology thing going on with him right now that is, it's just way too early, one start, to be beating himself up and saying, I just want to play. And he's getting into the Bryce Elder thing in that post game as well. I mean,
apologizing like he just cost us the World Series.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Like I'm saying, I'm not trying to, you know me, game 55, I'm not going to spend hours on one game. But I will say that's about as unique as I've heard in post game.
For sure.
From a guy. Let's talk about Acuna. Alex Anthopoulos on with us yesterday. I think there was a conventional wisdom that you thought Friday night would be the night back. Acuna, how long are they going to spend with him down in the minors until they bring him back? And Alex Anthopoulos saying not so fast.
I want to say yes, and if it was up to me, he'd be playing tonight. But the training staff, the medical staff, and I would say Ronald as well, I think they're taking a more cautious approach to this thing. You know, we don't want to go through what we did in 2022, where we brought him back, he was capable of playing, but he wasn't the same, and he wasn't right.
So those of you who think it's a done deal, it doesn't sound like it. Before we go to break, the most talked about topic also was him absolutely blowing off the notion that he's worried about his closer, Raisel Iglesias. Matter of fact, he had an entire kind of explanation for being up in the bullpen too much, having to be in too many one-run games, therefore that he was probably overthrowing in the bullpen. Dukes and Bell, I guess, weren't having it, but here is Alex explaining some of why he's not worried.
Not at all, and I know I'm supposed to say that. I guess if I wouldn't come out and say it. But and I will tell you why. You know, the one thing that the fans all see is when guys actually pitch in a game, we monitor and track how much they're up in the bullpen, right? And those, when you're up and you're, you know, we call it being up and hot and getting hot, getting ready to get into the game, that's something, right? It's not this equivalent of an appearance. But, you know, I've had some guys tell me that's the equivalent of half of an appearance. I've had other guys tell me it's three quarters of an appearance. Some guys will get up twice and not get in a game, and that could be viewed as an appearance. So he's been up a lot. That's not a criticism. He's always available. There's no issues with his health. We've played a lot of tight games. You know, those are the moves Snit needed to make, and it happens.
All right. I guess he's been up too much in the bullpen. So that's part of what he's saying.
Don't get up and hot.
Right.
Don't get up and hot.
I mean, it's
stay down and cool.
It's a half an appearance. It's three quarters of an appearance. Whatever. Listen, these guys, this is what you, I mean, if that's your job, you're going to overanalyze it to the nth degree.
Sticking on baseball here for a quick second, congratulations to Walton High School. The Walton Raiders swept Lowndes yesterday at Cool Ray Field to win the 6A state championship in baseball.
And Lowndes was like a
powerhouse,
right?
Yeah. Teaching those South Georgia boys something about Metro Atlanta. So congrats to the entire team from Walton.
A lot of D1 players on that field. Hey, we come back. What do you want from your TV sports? It is the Emmys last night. We'll tell you who won. But more importantly, ask you the question, are we watching sports totally different? We'll talk about that. Also, the tailgate, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I didn't even
Memorial
ask.
Day Monday. Early Memorial Day.
Oh, we're working on Monday. We're off. Okay. I got to plan a big Sunday barbecue at the house or something. Daddy doesn't have to get up for work.
I think the weather actually looks really nice this weekend, too. 70s. Cooling off a little bit. Yeah, dry, cooling off. So we didn't get too much thunder or lightning last night. It rolled through a little bit around 2 a.m. But
We lost our power last night.
Did you really?
Yeah, we lost our power for a few hours. I was getting ready to go downstairs middle of the night. Sometimes I'll go catch up on something. I've been, you know, the week gets busy. Everybody's home right now the summer. And I went down to watch something. We're out of power. Also, my dog starts freaking out once that kind of rain.
Yeah.
I think they can also sense when you hear that noise, when the power just, you know, kind of whoop. And yeah. So, but yeah, I'm here. It's going to be mild. Listen, a Padres series for the Braves is going to be very, very entertaining.
For sure.
They'll be packed for Memorial Day weekend, and just a great opportunity to be down there and enjoy. And then I think the Sox are in town the following weekend. So two huge homestands in terms of crowds coming back-to-back at Truist Park.
So Sophie's back from her freshman year. 1 to 10, what did she rate her?
Sophomore year.
Sophomore year, I'm sorry.
So sophomore year, she'd probably give like a 5.
Oh, really?
Or 6. Well, dude, I mean, the whole
Is she getting into the school that she's going to be majoring in? Like, is that?
Yeah, she's in the business school and all that stuff.
Awesome.
But sophomore year, she'd give a 10. Freshman
year.
Friends.
Freshman year, 10.
No, freshman year, 5.
Okay.
Sophomore year,
gotcha.
10. She's going to be a junior.
And I'm happy for her.
She's going to Barcelona on a program with UGA.
Oh, those are the best.
Dude, the life that that girl is leading, like, please, I want to come back to life.
Barcelona.
And be, she's like, yeah, we just booked Ibiza. Then we booked Croatia.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we booked Nice, right? Like, they're just every weekend. You know, there's like $40.
Good for her.
You know, there's like $50 flights
in
Europe going
yes.
like to different
That's
areas.
Like that quick little stand-up bit that I sent you, Rusty and Sandra, of the comedian talking about Atlanta. He's like, yeah, I took a $65 United flight to get here. My Uber from Hartsfield to Alpharetta was $120.
Right.
One left the ground, the other didn't.
Well, it used to be you get a Euro pass, right? And you just get on a train. Now they're like doing this with all the kids. Like you can fly for the same price, these airlines from like these cities within Europe. Dude, her itinerary, and then she has, you know, then she comes back for fall at Georgia, which will be kind of a quiet season, right? The football season.
Yeah, not much going on.
Yeah, with Gunnar Stockton and Ole Miss and Bama and Texas all coming to town.
Yep.
And just, she's living her best life. I mean, freshman year is funky for a lot of people.
Right.
You don't get in the sorority right away. You want, you're not used to the whole, you know, living arrangements, whatever. So they're all home, and then we're all scattering as well. So a great weekend, though. I'm planning on being down at Truist. I don't know which game yet, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Obviously, with the Padres in town, that's something. Also, if you love college baseball, a lot of that happening next couple of days. All right, tell us what the Dogs are doing in terms of their start of the SEC tournament.
Yeah, postseason college baseball is here. The SEC baseball tournament currently taking place in Hoover, Alabama, Georgia. The 5 seed will start their single elimination SEC tournament at the Hoover Met today. Approximately 5:30 p.m. on SEC Network, they're taking on 12 seed Oklahoma. Georgia is in a very, very good spot, Stake, as it pertains to regional play, super regional play, College World Series hope. So they need to win a couple of games in this SEC tournament to continue to bolster their resume.
The story of Danny Hall in Georgia Tech is an incredible one. He was named Coach of the Year in the ACC. He won his first outright ACC title. They are the number one seed. And, you know, listen, everybody season except for one team ends with an L.
Right.
So it's going to be hard when this thing's over for Georgia Tech, but they are making
a run at
it.
How many years has Danny been there?
Well, he's been coaching for 40 years total. I think
amazing career.
30 at Tech. I'll look it up as well. But they're not in action. Cal beat Miami yesterday, which was a big deal. So now Miami's out. Cal plays Wake Forest today. Whoever wins that plays Georgia Tech tomorrow
yes.
night.
Noted ACC powerhouse Cal Berkeley will be taking on top seed Georgia Tech in the ACC tournament. I did want to mention one more thing. Oh, yeah, and by the way, athletic director from the University of Georgia, Josh Brooks, joins us at 10:40 this morning. So much going on. A lot of success with Bulldogs spring sports that we will touch on him with as he gets ready for a little reprieve, I would hope, for him this summer. But I was watching a podcast the other day. John Skipper, former executive at ESPN. You may or may not know, ESPN is coming out with their direct-to-consumer app later on this year. John Skipper said, get ready for this, okay? You like that Alabama-Georgia matchup on Saturday night? You want to tune into that one? Put it behind a paywall, $4.99 to watch it. What would the college football fan think about that? You have to purchase an app. You're making your monthly payments. And now you want to watch the biggest game of the weekend, and they're going to put it behind a $5 paywall.
I think
you think it's years away. He said it sounded like it was imminent. Not this year, but closer than years away.
I'll just say that, you know, how is the college football fan that's not directly related to Alabama, Georgia?
Right.
Are they just going to buy every big game every
weekend?
Yeah,
how do you get those gargantuan numbers that they're used to?
Right, exactly right.
Yeah.
You're going to cut your audience by 70%. by 80%, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, think about Newark, New Jersey. Think about Davenport, Iowa. Think about San Francisco. Like, they're not paying every week for three or four of the biggest games, right?
Right.
Now, down here they might, but then how many SEC games are we going to pay for, right? So the next week when Tennessee, is that going to be on there when Tennessee is playing Texas?
Yeah.
Is that on the pit? Like, I think there's a point where you're going to, you know, lose your audience. Yeah, charge for the app. Drive the hell out of that.
Right.
Listen, ESPN is reeling because the business model of cable television was the greatest cash cow of all time, and it's gone forever. ESPN was getting $6 a subscriber because you knew if you didn't have ESPN on your cable network, you'd cancel that cable network and go to somebody else. So that model doesn't exist anymore because folks are canceling their cable. Now they just want to order their apps, you know. And by the way, the cable companies are going to the same format of like, just pick the 20 channels you want.
Yeah.
Pick the streaming channels. We'll give them to you. Pick the sports channels. You don't need these other 60 channels, right, that people don't want to have to pay for.
So not only that, but what does the infighting of people like Ryan Clark and RG3, former teammates, but obviously ESPN folks, what does that do for the average viewer? Do they care? Do they tune out?
I think it has no effect on the viewer.
Okay.
Zero. It's just fascinating fodder.
And we'll
fodder.
Talk about that in Belly Up for sure.
Yeah, it's fascinating fodder to watch. If you hadn't heard Ryan Clark and RG3 going at it
about
the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese stuff. And by the way,
getting each other's wives involved. I mean, just really, really out of bounds stuff.
Didn't somebody also bring up something about Ryan Clark?
Le'Veon Bell, his former teammate.
Said that he got a
white woman pregnant. Has a baby with the white woman. Now, that's alleged, so I have no idea.
No, but somebody's trying to put that out there after basically they were Ryan Clark saying RG3's married to white girls, so he don't care about black women. Like, oh, okay, dude. Wow. You're going to go there? That's uncomfortable.
Anyways,
speaking of sports television, the Emmys were last night, the sports Emmys, which are kind of a big deal. Lincoln Center in New York City. This is the absolute pinnacle of the sports broadcasting world, and not a ton of surprises, I would say. It's pretty much the same folks time and again that are winning stuff. I didn't understand exactly. Bo and Caleb explained. Lady Gaga wins for the opening of the Super Bowl. She plays a song, and she's what? Have you guys seen the video? Because I didn't see the opening of the Super Bowl. She's marching down Bourbon Street, is that it, what you said, Bo?
No, she's on in the middle of Bourbon Street on a grand piano. So Tom Brady and some like Michael Strahan walked down the street with, you know, their Louisiana shirts and L.A. shirts. I think there was fires at the time. And they stop at Lady Gaga on a grand piano in the middle of Bourbon Street.
Wow. And
around it. It's all right. Cool performance.
Here, let's hear this.
Hold my hand, everything will be okay. I heard from the heavens that clouds have been gray. Pull me close, wrap me in your aching arms.
So this wins.
I see that you're hurting.
What's the actual award, Caleb? What's it called? What's the award they were getting? Best performance?
Oh, for Lady Gaga? Yeah. Let's see.
It's like the titles are
for
kind
outstanding of outstanding music direction.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't know that's a sports
thing. I was just seeing one. The outstanding personality / emerging on-air talent goes to 73-year-old Nick Saban.
I know. Emerging on-air talent Nick Saban.
I mean, he is spectacular. In his first year with ESPN, he wins a sports Emmy. Our buddy Charles Barkley wins outstanding personality studio analyst.
Yeah, also Ernie Johnson wins for host. So Barkley and Ernie win again for the NBA on TNT. I would imagine they've got a major collection of those awards. It feels like Ernie Johnson Jr. just beats everybody, these guys out every year. I think he's beat Van Pelt, I don't know how many years in a row. Peyton Manning wins in the Outstanding Personality category for his work on ESPN2.
And SEC on ABC in its maiden voyage wins the Outstanding Live Series, so big for them.
So the SEC moved to ABC, which that game, by the way, is the game that we got at 3:30 on CBS for decades and decades.
Iconic.
That was Gary Danielson and Vern Lundquist. Then it moved to Nestler in that. Then they get having to do the Big Ten because the SEC moves to the Disney Network, which gives them access to ESPN and ABC, and they win it there. I'm asking people, because I find myself, and I never thought this would be the case, when they have alternate broadcasts or, you know, I don't know, I grew up pretty standard, you know, Pat Summerall and John Madden. Don Crickey, I think, worked with, the AFC team was Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen. So if you're a Jets, Patriots, Broncos, Steelers, Enberg and Olsen were the ones. If you were in the NFC, so Dallas, Philadelphia, Atlanta, whatever, not that Atlanta was getting many of those games, it was Pat Summerall and John Madden.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
That was the standard, the bell cow of the – I'm telling you that I think the Manning cast, and then you think back, and I think the NBA and TNT, and I think that type of delivering your sports is just – you have to have the right guys. But I watched 80% Manning cast on Monday night. The year before, I probably watched 30%.
Right.
But now I'm just all in, depending on the talent.
They don't go wrong much as far as who they bring in. I will say a little bit of a head scratcher a year ago when Bill Belichick was your stock first half guest the entire year. What was that?
Yeah. Well, I get you. Listen, there's a lot of football knowledge there. That was way too much. Bill Belichick it was overblown for sure. But I'm curious. Is there a product like I hear guys about McAfee now? They can't handle game day. I hear, you know, folks, actually, I've never heard folks say NBA and TNT. I've never heard one person say, I can't deal with those guys.
You watch that for entertainment. Even if you're not an NBA fan, you
it's
tune in.
It's the greatest sports talk show collection in history. Like, it doesn't matter. Meaning, when you talk about putting a sports show together, you're thinking about entertainment. You're thinking about chemistry. You're thinking about how many different topics can they tackle, right? What's the like, that group of four, Shaq, Kenny, Charles and Ernie, there is nothing like it. You can't even compare game day. You cannot compare what was the gold standard for years. Jimmy Johnson, Howie Long, Terry Bradshaw, and
James Brown / Kurt Menefee. Yeah. Fox on NFL.
Like, okay, they were fun. The stuff that Barkley and Kenny and Ernie and Charles Shaq were doing, it's just they rewrote it.
Dude, one of my favorites, and it still stings that it's been so broken up, was the OG Good Morning Football. I mean, I am a huge Peter Schrager fan, Kyle Brandt. Those guys were so good together.
So
it was McCourty. I loved the entertainment. I loved their knowledge. I loved their chemistry. Every morning, it was just feel-good TV. I got my NFL news, and I enjoyed watching it.
Former intern at 790 The Zone, Peter Schrager.
He got the bag to go to ESPN, so congratulations to him.
He's crushing living it. His best life.
Yes, he is, and he's earned it.
What's the best television product? Who is the guy, the woman, the show? I'm just curious as you're driving around, right, whether it's a local broadcast, whether it was Skip Carey doing the Braves, is there a gold standard of that was my favorite television? I'd love to hear from you. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. The top of Mount Rushmore for sports television. What is yours? Have we missed out on somebody that you actually want to talk about? We'll do that. Lots more on the way. Tough night for the Braves. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Hey, what's everybody doing on a Wednesday? Weather out there is nice. Listen to Sports Talk Radio. Josh Brooks, the athletic director of the University of Georgia, will be joining us coming up in about 35 minutes. We're looking at the softball team just had a huge win. Tennis just won a national title. Baseball's going to be in the middle of regionals. We said, let's just get Josh on the show. So that's coming up a little bit later. If you're a dog fan or a fan of the SEC in general, we'll talk about the dominance of SEC sports in general. That's at 10:40. Looking forward to that. I asked the question, who's your Mount Rushmore? Which is a very different question than you ask, like, what's the Mount Rushmore of blank? You know, I think Rusty and I were doing it like, you know, not that it's not all subjective, but if you're going to say the Mount Rushmore of Atlanta Falcons players, you know, there's about 8 or 10 guys to choose from, right? So you, Matt Ryan probably at the top of that.
For sure.
You know, Julio Jones, possibly Tommy Novus, Jesse Tuggle. I don't know. You know, just trying to think of maybe you talk about Mike Ken, Jeff, and whatever, like the best players. Like when it comes to your Mount Rushmore of sports television, I think it is absolutely in the eye of the beholder. Like there are folks,
no question.
There are folks that look at the broadcast of the Braves with Joe Simpson and Skip Carey and you know, the history there. Who am I? The four guys. So it was Skip. It was, give me the whole crew. Don Sutton for years, for sure. And Pete Van Weir, Ernie Johnson Sr., right? But I'll just say this. You'll never see anything like the NBA on TNT. You just won't. They've tried to copy him. It's been 20 years or so. How many years of the show? It's the most fun, the most entertaining, the most irreverent, the most honest, the best chemistry. One of the great hosts of all time, Ernie Johnson Jr., who's a complete, if you know him personally,
yeah,
he's as straight-laced as it gets.
Right.
But then you have three guys that just don't care, especially Charles and Shaq. They don't care. They have blank you money.
And that's the magic.
Right.
But I also think it's important to keep in perspective because the same goes for when you're talking about who is your Mount Rushmore of sports broadcasting television. You know, when everybody asks, who is your favorite cast of Saturday Night Live? Usually it's who was on the show when you were in high school and college. When you really kind of understood what your brand / type of humor
was.
Well,
it's like I say that whatever fan you were of a team from age 8 to 14, that's never going to leave you.
Right.
Right? That's like built in your core. Why do all these transplants come down here and there's still Steeler fan, Cowboy fans, Cub fan, whatever it is, Bears fans. Like when you live in a town and you're that age when sports is everything in your world, like that becomes in your blood. So there's a lot of old timers that just can't deal with McAfee, and they can't deal with this new generation of whatever that talent may look like. And I'm trying to think of other examples now of,
you know, maybe throw like the Barstool thing in there. Some people just don't like Barstool, how they cover sports. Listen, I mean, that's totally different. But
yeah, Dave Portnoy is absolutely not for everybody.
Yeah.
But it's just not quite as mainstream. I will say this. I think Peyton and Eli Manning are the most likable television combination that I have ever seen of like unbelievable knowledge, depth of knowledge, quarterback in the NFL combined like 30 years, both SEC stars.
Four Super Bowls.
Yeah, playing with every combination of athletes and players or against them and then having an unbelievable sense of humor that absolutely comes through the television. Like, it just comes through. There's nothing that is comedic about Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. There was nothing about Tom Brady last year working with
Kevin Burkhardt
that was unique and magical. It was fine. It was good, right? Yeah. John Madden was unique and magical. His energy sitting next to Pat Summerall, who had this, you know, incredible voice and history around the NFL, next to John Madden, who just absolutely took things to a different level in terms of entertainment value. That's different.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I was too young to really understand what it meant. I remember when it happened, but like when Dennis Miller got thrown into the Monday Night Football booth.
I mean, absolute disaster.
Disaster.
Right? They're trying to be, that's the definition of somebody trying to just, I'm thinking of the term, right? Is somewhere somebody threw out in a brainstorming, what if we go completely the other way on Monday Night Football? The numbers are not quite as high as they used to be. What if we go in another direction and put a comedian in there, right?
Former head writer of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Well, like,
now in the booth.
So John Gruden, for a lot of people, who, by the way, not an easy guy to get along with for most folks, but still brought an irreverence to that booth. That also got him back in the NFL. But if you had your Mount Rushmore of television sports, is there somebody? 404-726-0929. It's a different breed today.
Yeah.
You know, and there's few guys that are going to separate the game. You know, Brett. I grew up with Brett Musburger doing big college games.
Oh, yeah.
Keith Jackson calling college games, certainly on ABC, felt, you know, there was a gravitas to it. Hearing the voice and understanding that's the biggest game of the week because that's the voice that you're hearing,
yep.
Right? And, you know, that's part of it as well. There's 30 opinion-driven sport jock shows, right? And very few of them resonate
at all. I met one guy who's a lifer. I believe he started off in radio at WFAN in New York. Now he's the number one NBA play-by-play guy on ESPN, Mike Breen, like one of the nicest guys of all time.
One of the greatest. And I did Imus's show for years and years when he was on in Atlanta. I was very lucky in my early 30s to have a regular seat at the table with Imus, and I was one of about – Breen was on there.
Yeah.
Warner Wolf was on there. Francesa was on there, but Breen would do sports updates on Don Imus and his personality. He's sarcastic. He's funny. He's an unbelievably generous guy, and he's unbelievably talented.
Oh, he's so good.
Doesn't matter who you put with. George Burke does a great job, and Reddick did a great job the year before, and Gundy had a great magic with Mark Jackson and all that. But make no mistake, Mike Breen. But again, are you tuning in specifically for the voice? Like, I'm tuning in because Peyton and Eli Manning are so friggin' funny, the way they're busting each other's balls. And the producers of that show, that's what's great about the Manning cast, similar to NBA and TNT. They're going to find stuff. It's like, great producer, I'm going to put this in front of my hosts, and I know they're going to go, they're going to run with it.
Yeah.
So the old videos they did with Barkley and those guys, the same with the Manning cast, right?
My first ever NFL game, my rookie year, Sunday Night Football, Steelers at Denver Broncos. It's Peyton Manning's first game with Denver. Sunday Night Football, I'm out there way early, right? Punters and kickers are on the field way early. And, of course, I've always loved sports broadcasting and sports journalism. And I'm around midfield, and Al Michaels starts walking up to me. And I'm like, oh, man.
Wow.
Hey, Drew, congratulations. I'm like, wow, thank you so much. Al Michaels was on the ABC television broadcast of Georgia, Florida in 1980, which is completely overlooked because everybody here, Munson's Run Lindsay Run call. And he did a bunch of games,
Al
and he
Michaels
was familiar
did,
with
George.
Dad, and he said, congrats, I've worked on some of your dad's games in the past. I was like, wow, this is super cool.
That is cool.
First ever game. And then Ben Roethlisberger threw a pick six without a minute left, and that place went nuts.
Wow.
Mile High Stadium.
How fun.
We lost.
Hey, Ayab in Stone Mountain, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Yes, for me, it's UEFA Champions League on CBS, on Paramount Plus, Kate and Henry and all of them.
Yeah, Kate Abdo.
What makes that broadcast so good? What makes him so good?
They make it fun. It's always in a comedy and all over the world watching them, and they just nominated to Emmys, and, you know, the best show for me. I'm a soccer fan.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you listening to us. That's very cool. Rick in Snellville, you're on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. How you doing, Rick?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Good to talk to you guys,
too, man.
Buddy. I hope you're having an awesome day. Hey, listen, I'm a little older than you guys, and I'm going to go back a little bit. Some folks may get this, but, of course, everybody knows Larry Munson. He's got the voice with the hobnail boot and all that. But growing up a Braves fan and my dad a big fan, I mean, heck, we went to the game on April 8th in 74 and saw Hank break the record. I'm going to take you back to a guy by the name of Milo Hamilton, who was just a master at calling Braves baseball games back then. I don't know if you've heard the guy's name.
Yeah, I've heard the name. So was he doing radio?
Yeah, he did radio, mostly for the Braves. And, I mean, you know, back in the 60s.
Yeah, that's the
early,
Vin Scully years.
70s.
Yeah, there's certain names. Appreciate the phone call. Johnny Most in Boston, Milo here.
Vin Scully,
Chick Hearn, 50s, 60s, 70s. Wasn't the proliferation
of
television. Marv Albert with the Rangers and the Knicks. Yes, and the Knicks and Walt Frazier, which is, part of it that Breen does the Knicks. Marv Albert did the Knicks.
Yeah.
So there's a history there as well. We'll come back, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Why Spencer Strider needs, I think he needs to see, was it Stuart Smalley from Saturday Night Live? You're good enough, you're smart enough, and people like you? He needs some help, dude. We'll tell you why. Sports Radio 929 The Game. 10:24. Drew Butler's here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I wonder, as we talk about sports television, now in the heyday when your dad's kicking for the Bears and they're the absolute dominant story, really, in all of sports. I mean, they were, we call it one of those get off the bus teams.
Yeah.
Where folks are sitting around a hotel, and when they get off the bus, it's like, oh my God, that's the Chicago Bears. That's Jim McMahon, Walter Payton. That's Willie Gault and Wilbur Marshall. That's Mike Singletary. They knew your dad, Kevin Butler, kicking it. I mean, like, that was like the Bulls when it was Rodman and Michael and Scotty and Phil Jackson,
yeah,
right?
Steve Kerr was on those teams.
Yeah,
Luke Longley, Tony Kukoc.
Yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, Kukoc. Like, the get off the, like, that bus.
Yeah.
Look who's getting off.
Oh, yeah.
There. That's next level. I imagine the Dodgers are like that now with Shohei, especially. Otani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, like, let's just start with those guys, you know? But I assume most of the big games that your dad played in was called by Summerall and Madden.
Oh, for sure.
Because they're NFC. So those of you who don't know, there was the NFC team. Those games were on CBS with Pat Summerall and John Madden. And then NBC had had Merlin Olsen and Dick Enberg. And you knew you were the best game of the weekend if those guys did it. The second team for NBC was Bob Trumpy and Don Crickey, and that passed, you know, before your time. I forget what the number two team was on CBS, but I mean, a lot of Kevin Butler moments were called by Summerall and Madden, and I'm sure there were relationships that was built. What's crazy is that, you know, I'm not telling you it was common that folks were drinking while they're on the air, but there's certainly rumors that, you know, Pat Summerall talked about his alcoholism at length, that if you were in a limo on the way to the game or after the game, especially with Summerall, that, you know, that guy was knee-deep in boozing for years, right? A different deal. Howard Cosell. I grew up with Howard Cosell and Dandy Don Meredith and Frank Gifford. And when Howard Cosell was calling a game, it was special and unique.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, you know, there was stuff on him later in his career, and he eventually was on the air drunk at one point. I don't remember if ABC suspended him. I don't think that was the end of his career, but he was on the air that way. Summerall was on the air that way. There's just all kinds of, you know, you didn't know much about these guys because it was the internet, and they weren't being covered in the same way that they are today, right? These guys are mega stars, but those guys were huge stars.
I mean, a guy that I hold in high regard who, again, when I was in high school, huge college football fan, playing high school football, aspirations to play in college, Mike Patrick and Todd Blackledge were the ESPN Saturday night crew.
The Saturday night games.
You know, Mike Patrick, this is my freshman year, but his viral moment, Alabama, Georgia, Georgia's getting the ball in overtime in Tuscaloosa, and out of the blue, he goes, "What is Britney Spears doing with her life?" Blackledge goes, "What? Britney Spears?" And Blackledge is like, "Is she here? Well, why are you talking about her?" Next play, Matthew Stafford to Mikey Henderson. I mean, just like those small moments that you remember. Mike Patrick, who just passed, rest in peace. I mean, he had many iconic games for sure.
Yeah, and Blackledge has done a great job with multiple partners over the years, including Sean McDonough. I do want to mention, I meant to mention this earlier. And by the way, Josh Brooks, the AD of Georgia, is going to join us, talk about the SEC and the spring that Georgia is having, and obviously Georgia baseball getting ready for what many folks hope will be a run to Omaha to be in the college.
Absolutely.
World Series. They got to take care of their business. I watched the documentary last night of Brett Favre, Untold Stories. And I'm going to say unequivocally, that was one of the biggest pieces of garbage I have ever watched in my entire life. That was a disgrace to sports documentaries.
What did it cover?
Dude, that guy could have a 3-episode arc similar. What's the recent one I watched? Oh, like the Schwarzenegger one that had 3 different elements of his career, or other sports ones. Like Brady hasn't had his yet. Michael has had his. I'm trying to think of who were actual players that had 1 or 2 full episodes documentary about them, right? I think Bill Russell has had it. Brett Favre could trace the Southern Miss, the time with the Falcons. You could trace why he got traded, then go through his career in Green Bay, him retiring, him ended up in Minnesota where he was phenomenal, the stuff with the Jets before that. Jen Sturger, is that her name?
Yes.
She has easily 50 to 60% of the entire documentary. You would think that Brett Favre, I am not condoning a married man sending inappropriate texts, okay? Which probably has happened with professional athletes 10,000 times. Jen Sturger is on this documentary for easily 30 of the 55
minutes.
And that's
her only claim to fame, right?
Yeah, she says that he ruined her career and that she...
Listen, what was her career? I thought she was front row Florida State fan.
She was
girl.
Wearing a bikini yeah. at a Florida State game. One of the announcers, Brent Musburger, mentioned her, someone tongue-in-cheek. Next thing you know, she went viral. My point is, they were talking about Brett Favre like you'd be talking about Sean Diddy Combs. I'm not even kidding.
Come on.
Dude.
They kill him.
The whole thing is a hatchet job. There's no two sides to it. They're talking about the fall from grace. Like, is that the defining moment of his life? The text to Jen Sturger? Like, why is she on there? She's crying. She's carrying on. Like, I get it. You were put in a bad spot, right? She's like, I never even met Brett Favre. So why do you get 35 minutes of the Brett Favre documentary? It is such a piece of trash. There's like, I was watching with my daughter, who's a huge sports fan. She walked down and goes, I want to know about his career.
Yeah.
Like I said, yeah, he went back and played for the Vikings. And it was amazing. There was a whole thing about him coming out of retirement and then, you know, how things ended up with the Jets and then his pain pill addiction and,
right.
you know, the streak of never missing a game right. for 18 seasons.
Playing on Monday Night Football the day his dad passed away.
Like, talk about the sport. This was such a hatchet job and so lazy. And, I mean, what did he do to Jen Sturger other than be a creep, a married creepy guy? Okay, that's worth. And then the whole thing about the Mississippi, the welfare fund yeah, or whatever it yeah. is. Yeah, it's not a good
the
moment
embezzlement,
for him.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not a good moment. But, like, my God, like, if I was the Brett Favre fan, like, they try to paint him as the worst human being. And
jeez,
I've heard a lot of teammates say he's a phenomenal teammate and absolutely will do anything for the guys he played with. And this was the laziest. And I know that show Untold, that's not at an E60 level, right, it's not an right. HBO level. It's a lazy show. They did the Florida Gators. It was a lazy take. This was awful. By the way,
I would say you need to check out that American Manhunt, Osama bin Laden.
I'm done. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, you want great filmmaking, watch the documentary, American Manhunt, Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
It's tremendous filmmaking, educational, fascinating, just great insight. Yeah, that's a real
right.
piece of journalism. Spencer Strider last night, listen to him in the clubhouse. After a start, he wasn't good. 4 1/3, 6 hits, 4 runs. Okay, you haven't pitched basically all year. This is a guy that is not feeling good about himself.
Didn't give us a chance to win the game, really. Just got to be better. Didn't execute. Stuff wasn't consistent. You know, just hate to see the guys, you know, come back, put a 3-spot up there, and then go out and immediately give up the lead. That's just one of those things you never want to do. So, you know, not acceptable for me.
All right, so he's beating himself up there. It continues as he just gets in a stream of consciousness about not being there for his teammates. I think also stems from being injured and then the hammy that he's almost embarrassed by.
I mean, I don't enjoy failing, and certainly not at the expense of the team. We sent a pretty good guy down that was supposed to pitch in my spot. So, you know, that's not lost on me. And, you know, that's kind of the nature of the game. I think it's important to have that perspective that, you know, the goal is to win. And that takes 26 guys. And the guy who's starting the game on the mound is a big component in going out and winning every day. And so, you know, if I can't be better, I don't need to be out there.
It
goes without saying, Spencer, we know you don't enjoy failing. Nobody enjoys failing.
By the way, failing is pretty strong. I had a bad start.
Yeah, and he's scheduled to be Sunday afternoon, 4:10, at home, Memorial Day weekend against the San Diego Padres. So Creature Comforts, being back in the Braves clubhouse and, you know, getting back into his routine, second start back.
I don't deserve to be out there.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
If you have 7 straight bad starts, if we're 1-5 when you're out there, if you're blowing leads consistently, but dude, you know, you've earned that spot that you took from Bryce Elder.
It's going to be okay.
How about him referencing, we sent a pretty good guy down. That's not lost on me. I mean, there is taking ownership and there is beating yourself up. I'm curious what the rest of the shows are going to think about hearing Spencer Strider be that hard on himself. I love the accountability, but I think mentally, dude, easy on yourself.
Absolutely. You've earned it. You've earned a little grace from this fan base.
He feels sick for Bryce Elder. Bryce Elder will make it back up here. There's no question. It's like Anthopoulos told us yesterday. I felt horrible about it because he's pitched really well. 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. He is the AD of Georgia. They're having spring. Why not talk to Josh Brooks when we come back? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Stakey and Drew Butler on a Wednesday morning, joined by a guy. He's busy. He's active.
Very active.
But having a hell of a spring. Athletic Director of Georgia, Josh Brooks, joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Josh, thanks so much for jumping on last minute with us. And congratulations. You said when you came to Georgia, we want to compete for a national title in everything we do. You certainly seem to be doing that in a number of sports this spring.
Yeah, you know, this is this is year five for me. And, you know, sometimes you have to be patient with the process. My staff and I could see where we're headed. And now we're starting to see some of the fruits of the labor and all the work we've put in. And obviously we're not stopping here. We want to keep going, and we remain excited not just about what's going on right now, but about where we're headed the next 2 years with the way that our staffs are recruiting and working right now.
All right, let's get it straight right now. So, and Drew, you have some of that in front of us. Women win the national title.
Yes, women's tennis team wins the national title.
Don't drop a point the entire tournament, correct, Josh?
They lost 1 point to Duke in the quarterfinals, and they lost the doubles point. But other than that, they did not lose a point in the SEC tournament or the NCAA tournament. That's the only point they lost. Pretty impressive.
Women's track and field just won the SEC championship. Congratulations to them.
Yeah. They're currently ranked number one, and they and both the men finished second in indoor national championships a few months ago. Not to forget that the women's tennis team also won the indoor national championship. And Equestria won a national championship.
That's right.
So we've
Equestrian.
Got three this spring, bringing our grand total in department history to 51. Hopefully chasing 52 here soon or 53 with a couple more to go.
Yeah, you got softball in the super regionals.
Well, that was a huge win in Durham, right, over the weekend?
Yeah, you know, and a complete respect to Duke and the work they've done. But, you know, this is just proof of how much the SEC is a gauntlet. You know, people were getting a little worried about we had some tough battles in SEC play. But the SEC in softball is a gauntlet. And I knew, I said, hey, you know, we're going to regionals where there's no SEC teams. Let's go take our chances. And now we made it out of there. Now we're going to go to Gainesville and for a good Georgia-Florida showdown, and let's see what happens.
That's
going to
be awesome. And then, of course, baseball. They are the 5 seed in the SEC postseason conference championship that's taking place in Hoover right now, and they are taking on Oklahoma this afternoon. Expected first pitches at 5:30. Coach Johnson has those boys rolling. There's a lot of expectation for Georgia baseball heading into the postseason.
Yeah, and you know, you look at there's, you know, I think there's like 37 baseball polls with different rankings, but
that's
one of the key ones I look
that is
at
crazy
is, yeah, it's RPI, and I think last time I checked, unless it's changed this morning, we were number one in the country in RPI.
Awesome.
Which speaks volumes about the work they've done, and think about, you know, Wes and his staff and his team, what they've done and what he's done in just 2 short years has been nothing short of remarkable. So we're extremely proud of him, the work that him and his staff have done.
You know, the high profile, obviously, is football and basketball. And we were talking about basketball earlier. It certainly feels like, and they could say this every sport. I follow baseball, I guess, a little closer. But, like, a lot of teams could have won the national title in basketball out of the SEC. Unfortunately, Georgia wasn't one of them. But in baseball, Georgia's a 5 seed. Everybody that's in the mix, it feels like in the top 8 or 10 in the SEC, could not only win the SEC, they could win the entire national title. That's how good SEC baseball is right now.
Yeah, and that's going to come down to who gets hot, right? I mean, that's the name of the game in Omaha. So who's going to get hot and get the right time? And I feel good about the depth that we have. You know, Wes has obviously been there before, that experience, and having we have an older ball club, which I think it pays dividends this time of year. And, you know, last year was a growing and learning experience for us going through regionals and supers, and now we hope to make that next step.
So I ask what I ask a lot of CEOs when we have them in here for our leaders program. How do you set your schedule? How do you decide what game to be in front of, when to get on the road, when to get on a jet, when to be in front of these kids? I mean, because we all know we see the big high-profile sports. These are kids that are committed their entire lives to winning national titles for Georgia, and they deserve the respect of Josh Brooks and your team just as much as everybody else.
Yeah, honestly, that's one of the hardest parts of the job for me because I agonize over it and I want to be at as many events as possible. And then also have three children and a wife that I'm trying to balance time with them as well. I've learned that there is no such thing as balance with this. You do the best you can. You try to integrate as much of it as you can, you know. So, you know, the sports that have a lot of home games make it easier, but it's the ones that only have a select few. Or, you know, sport like track, where we don't technically host any home meets. So I'll make sure and go to nationals with them. And that's how you balance. That's how I try to balance the family life, because my son, I've got a son that loves track, so I can take him with me and get to support Georgia and get some good quality family time at the same time. That's how you have to integrate it into your life, because your time gets stretched. I mean, it's a joke, but it's the truth. I don't have hobbies, and that's okay. My life is my family and Georgia athletics, and that's it. And I love it that way. But I've played golf one time in the last year.
I don't know. You're a pretty good New Orleans chef. Is that a hobby? The jambalaya, the Creole, or some of that?
Yeah, and I wish I could. And I'm sure my wife wishes I could do a lot more cooking than I get to do.
Yeah. But you're a great chef, too, so I know the New Orleans connection there. You don't have hobbies, because I would say this, though, different from a CEO, you can't bring your 12-year-old to the board meeting for 3 days. I mean, the things you have to go to are pretty fun and entertaining for a lot of folks, especially when you're a damn good dog and the whole family loves watching Georgia sports.
Yeah, and I remind myself of that, because I never want to take for granted that I get to go to these events and get to go watch our kids compete, because it is a blessing. It is awesome. I mean, think about the places I've got to go to, whether we're talking about the NCAA basketball tournament or going to watch our team at regionals or going to the college football playoff. I mean, there's so many cool opportunities. And when you love the place you work and you truly love Georgia, and I've been here 15 years now, there's nothing like it. So I'm living a dream. So it's never – as hard as this is, it's never – this isn't work. This is, you know, when you love what you do like I do, this is just not work. I don't know how to describe it, but it's definitely not work. It's what I love, and it's my passion.
Yeah, for obvious reasons and great reasons, you're busy right now. Some people from the outside might think this is your time off, but hopefully that's not until late June after baseball gets done with the national championship. But looking towards next football season and the home schedule and all the excitement around the big blue chip programs that are coming into Athens to take on the Georgia Bulldogs football team, what has that excitement level been like among donors, among supporters, and inside the Athletic Association offices as you're gearing up for a monstrous 2025 football season?
Yeah, you know, summer's, and I never want to be too hyperbolic and make grandiose statements, but some people are saying this may be the greatest year of home schedule games. I know in recent history or modern history.
Yeah, I would agree. I've been here 30 years.
For sure.
I've never seen anything like what is rolling. You know, Alabama came in every 8 years or something. That was always like the biggest game in like 5-6 years. And now, obviously, Alabama, Texas is at that level, and Lane Kiffin pretty much right there as well. So I've never seen anything like the hype around that home schedule.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think there could be a couple opportunities for game day to come to town, SEC Nation. You know, it's great for the town.
obviously, hotels and restaurants and everything else. It's great for the students. It creates a great atmosphere. And you know what else? The other thing that didn't get mentioned enough is what it does for the other 20 sports recruiting, because those other 20 sports host official visits.
Right.
And they get to come. When you see a track recruiter, gymnastics recruit on the sidelines at a football game before the game and they're looking at the crowd, I mean, they want to commit right then and there. They're like, this is where I want to come to school, because, you know, a lot of kids come to a place like Georgia for the total experience. The SEC football experience
absolutely
is very powerful when you're a high school kid recruiting, looking where to go to school.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention men's golf is also taking part in the NCAA championships at the end of this month out at Greyhawk Golf Club in Scottsdale, Arizona. And to your point, Josh, oftentimes you'll see Coach Hack, Coach Douglas, Mookie DeMoss with those big-time golf recruits down on the sidelines showing those guys what SEC football is all about. So it is a rock and rolling time.
And they've been crushing it lately. Really, they've been doing very well on the recruiting trail. And I've got some breaking news that Drew Butler's golf game has gotten so good, Stake, that we're applying to the NCAA for a waiver to get a fifth-year of eligibility to get him on the men's golf team. We think we can get a national championship if we get Drew out there.
Listen, I can tell you he's very modest about it. I was like, what'd you shoot over the weekend? I shot a one. I was like, what? Yeah, I was at par. I'm like, so you're a scratch golfer? He's like, yeah, kind of. That's what it is. But yeah. He's very, you know, he's not humble in everything in his life. For some reason, his golf game, he's very humble about.
I think we could sue the NCAA and get a fifth year
Let's
for him. I think that's out there.
Let's do it, J-Bone. That sounds awesome.
I don't know if I can afford his steak. I don't know if I can afford his NIL package. It may be too much.
We can work something out. Thank you, Josh.
You know, those professional sports families have a lot of demands. Drew Butler, with us. Josh Brooks is with us. How do you manage, you know, you got high school buddies you grew up with. You got family members. I mean, the level of requests that roll through, just on a personal level for a season like this, is there a mindset, a strategy about tickets and suites and all that stuff? Obviously, the donors is a whole other part, but on a personal level, the asks, what's the Brooks family philosophy on that stuff?
You know, that's a difficult one, especially for a season like this. But I've always, especially when it comes to my box, like my suite and hosting, I've always tried to do a third, a third, a third, a third for my family and friends, a third for donors, and then a third for, like, celebs or former players. Because you got to carve out for your family, right? You got to have a little bit there, and then you got to carve out for donors. But honestly, and I'm not saying this to blow smoke up Drew's whatever, but, like, when I can bring in, I call them celebs, like Drew or Aaron Murray or Tavares King, guys like that, they serve two purposes. One, they're the celeb in the box, but they also, guys like Drew are really good at helping me with the donors because I may be getting pulled in different directions. So when I can get guys like Aaron and Drew in there, they're really good about not only being the celeb, but helping me because we're entertaining donors. So that mix of a third, a third, a third really works well for me, and it's proven to be a good mix because – and look, I want to see guys like Drew anyway. Those are my guys from my time when I was here. But when they can also help me, they're almost an extension of my development office. So I like to bring those guys in, and that balance has been pretty good for how we do that. And then beyond that, it's like I'll help people when I can, but people know that, you know, I've got a little bit of a to buy allotment. I can sell people tickets or put out a fire, and then that's pretty much how it goes.
Drew, I think you just got invited to the Texas game.
Guess what? My sister-in-law is getting married Saturday.
Oh, wow.
So, Josh, right, I will not be bugging you for Texas
about Bama?
Game.
Hey, Josh Brooks is with us, AD at Georgia. I'm doing a lot about FIFA and talking a lot of businesses about World Cup and what it's doing for the economy. I'm just thinking, Sandra lives at the lake. The amount of folks just from Texas that are trying to come to Athens or anywhere near it, I have to believe there's a number of the economy in Atlanta, Lake Oconee, the Athens, I know where they charge for hotel rooms. The amount of dollars that Georgia sports, particularly this season, is going to be astronomical. Somebody needs to look at that. The economy boost of that home schedule is going to be crazy.
So, Stank, are you saying you're going to come run for commissioner in Athens and help drive more money to the university impact we're having on the...
Well, I know Sandy's going to be renting out that lake house or lake... it's like in Augusta with the Masters.
Course.
Same thing. So, I mean, it's exciting. Listen, that whole community is booming anyway, but I mean, this is next level stuff coming up with this football season.
Yeah, you know, that's the old rising tides lifts all ships, and I think it's been great for the community, great for the campus. You've seen it's been well documented, the number of applicants we're getting now every year at the university, the higher standards, what it takes to get admitted at Georgia now. It's great. We're a powerhouse in academics and athletics, and it's a massive point of pride. And, oh, by the way, our athletic department, with no help from Drew Butler because he's gone, but we just set a new athletic department GPA, 3.27.
Awesome.
Our entire athletic department. So we don't have Drew weighing us down anymore, so we were able to get that number back up.
Congratulations. That is a huge honor. Okay, last question before we let you go. I'm going to put you on the spot. I've noticed that the food and restaurant scene in Athens continues to grow. So I'm coming to town. Your wife and kids are out. Me and you get to go to any restaurant in Athens. Where are we having dinner?
Oh, man, that's like picking your favorite child.
Come on,
man.
You got to really do
give
it.
Give me two or three then. Give us, we'll have a dining round. Where are you going?
It always starts at the Last Resort.
Okay.
And Tom Call and the job they do there is phenomenal. You can never have a bad meal there. But, you know, some of my favorites here, Expat, ZZ and Simone's,
yep.
5 and 10. There's so many great options of places in Athens that just truly blessed to be able to live right here and
you got it all.
Be 5 minutes away from a great restaurant, a great meal. So, like I said, I don't have a lot of hobbies, but because I live so close to Five Points right here, I can break away for a Wednesday night dinner with the wife and have a great meal and be home by 9 o'clock, which is amazing. You know?
The best. The Royal Peasant Pub right in Five Points, just my
favorite. Yeah.
God, I love that spot.
Hey,
great burger.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so
congratulations.
Much,
congratulations. We'll be watching close this spring. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Appreciate you guys.
Go Dogs. Go Dogs.
There he is, Josh Brooks. Hey, 10 o'clock hours brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Pretty good stuff. Alex Anthopoulos yesterday, Josh Brooks today. These are the guys making news all over Atlanta sports. We're back tomorrow with Sandy. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day.